Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks so much for staying with us. So FinScope Consumer South Africa 2023 has been released. This is a survey really where they were looking at numerous things, and some we'll discuss now with the Head of Financial Inclusion Program South Africa at Finmark Trust, Lesego Mashego. But really something for you to sit up and listen to in a short while. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome, Lesego Mashego.
Good evening, Pamela, and good evening to your listeners.
I just want to start by just giving a sense to the listeners what the FinScope Consumer South Africa survey was hoping to assess really in this country.
So a survey is run really to understand how people manage their financial lives, how they use and access financial services. We generally do this by speaking to respondents at their households. For 2023 specifically, we spoke to 5,600 respondents during the periods of August and October across all nine provinces in urban and rural areas. So our methodology is really comprehensive to make sure that we give a picture of the 45 million adults in South Africa, which we define from a financial services perspective as people between the ages of 16 and 45.
So obviously the media has cherry-picked what to highlight, but there are many, many things that you were able to assess here. And I just want to talk to some of the issues. I don't think we'll get through all of them. But what South Africans are using their money for, broadly speaking, what were you able to assess?
So South Africans in 2023, 84% of their money went to consumption and living expenses. 4.1% of their money went to insurance and medical aid. 6% went to education. And then 2.4% went to debt, while 3% went to saving. If you break down that consumption and living expenses, the majority of it goes to food and energy. So 30% goes to food and 11% goes to energy.
We saw somewhere that there is about, I don't know what the percentage is, you'll tell me now, quite a big chunk of the middle class that does not have, for instance, a retirement plan because there just isn't money to put away for that kind of, you know, eventuality.
Yes, that's correct, Pamela. So people earning about between 9,999 and 20,000 rand, 62% of them do not have a retirement product. So they don't save for retirement. But I think that is the least of our worries. So if you look at the entire population, 86% do not have a retirement plan, which means we should be planning for more grants in the future.
There is quite an interesting highlight that was made about tips and people relying quite heavily on the kind of work that does bring in tips and how that supports quite the majority of the low-level skilled workers.
Yes. So particularly those that work in the services industry will rely heavily on tips to augment their salary. Interestingly, though, is that when they do earn tips, so if you look at the average income in South Africa, it's about 3,800 rand, just over the minimum wage. But when they start earning tips, it actually goes to over 4,000 rand, which means tips play a big role to augment people's salaries, especially those that work in the services industry.
The big talking point is how many of these people that you've been surveying were talking about how they've had to literally get a loan to augment whatever income they had, to supplement their needs, particularly food. Where are they getting that money from, these loans from?
So we have about over 60% of consumers that are credit active consumers in South Africa. Majority of that credit is actually credit facilities and unsecured loans. So they're borrowing from personal loans, they're borrowing from anything that's unsecured to supplement their day-to-day income, basically.
And there is a call, I believe you made a call to speak to the banks, because quite a number of South Africans who are unemployed actually say if they were able to get access to some money, they would start businesses. They wouldn't be sitting idle.
Yes. So what we find in our data is that development credit is not doing that well. So that's the credit that you would use for productive purposes, like investing in a business or buying a home. That's not doing that well. So in the questions that we asked, we found that 15% of South Africans actually want to invest or launch a business, but they're unable to because they do not have the money to do so. While 47% indicated that they wanted to finance a housing project, but they are unable to, particularly because they don't have access to those services. And I guess it goes to question what we're doing as a country, right? Should we be spending on consumption or should we be promoting productive credit so that people are able to grow their asset base?
And I mean, I don't know, but just I would know that it's easier to get a loan to buy a car than to start a business, for instance. And that's just the way in which a system works.
Yeah, that's how it works, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to speak on behalf of FSPs. We would need to have them here so that they're able to explain. But I think there's a lot that the sector needs to be thinking about, right, from a South Africa perspective, to say what should we be doing actually to make sure that people have things to fall back on instead of using credit for things that they, if I buy with the money that you gave me, it means I'm not going to have tomorrow. I'm going to need again and I'm going to come back again and use the money to buy again. So we need to be thinking creatively about how do we support especially the low-income people, but also how do we ensure that productive credit goes to rural areas? I think there's laws, that there's regulations that make it very difficult for banks to be able to do that. But I think as a country, we need to be thinking creatively about solutioning for the country in which we reside in.
What are grant recipients surviving on? How are they surviving?
On the grant? I mean, the majority of them actually rely on the grant solely. You will have pockets of them that use that have other income. It will be temporary work, but it's not a lot of money that they earn. Majority of them, if you look at the qualification levels, the number of years that they have been employed, it's long. So over 3 years, majority of them haven't been in any employment. Majority of them actually rely on the grant or sources or require money from people in their families. So they will ask for money from people in their families and friends.
From what you've been able to assess, obviously the informal sector is very, very active, really keeping the South Africa alive in a way. What has to happen to bolster that? We've just spoken now about maybe perhaps rethinking how we support people who are ambitious, who want to start businesses. But overall, you know, what do you think has to happen to support the number of people who are surviving through the informal sector?
I think there's a lot that can be done, right? But I think just take when COVID happened and the funds that were available and the grants that were available required these businesses to either be registered. They needed to know who you are. Even if you go to a bank today and ask for a financial product and you say you're a business, you're either going to have to do it as a sole proprietor or, and that will be in your personal capacity, in your name as Timelo, not in your business name, or you would then have to have a registered company. The burden that is placed on people to actually access things that they require to generate an income and sustain their livelihoods, I don't think we've ever thought about it, that what is that burden that we're creating? And is it necessary for a person that's a survivalist that probably needs a loan of 5,000 rand to buy stock for the first time and may not come back to you? Is it necessary for them to have a registration that they have to maintain on a month-on-month perspective? So I think those are the things that we need to be thinking about. Think about it cleverly to say, this is a sector, it's working. It may not require a million, which means the risk that it places on me as a financial institution is not the same as that medium business. So let me think about the solutions that would be appropriate for that particular business to stimulate its growth. We don't know, maybe in 5 years' time, it's able to grow and become a big business that you're then able to serve with other products that they may not be able to get initially.
Obviously, what has obviously come through is the cost of living just rising and rising, and we're not being able to keep up with the cost of living, and our salaries not being able to keep up. One of your biggest concerns, maybe through that lens, where we are struggling the most to keep up?
So, Pamela, I think a key thing that came up is that, and I mean, I've been reading other documents and studies that have been done. So, in South Africa right now, a family of four will need about 30,000 rand per month to survive. If you look at our FinScope survey, we are reporting that people on average earn 3,800 rand.
Did you say to survive, Lisa?
Just to survive, so that they are able to live comfortably and are able to pay their bills and buy food and electricity. But they live on 3,800 rand. How are they going to afford the rising electricity costs?
Do you realize then my question when I said to you, how are the people on grant surviving? It stems exactly from that, because, you know, it can't be that people are surviving on the grant money alone. It's just not possible.
We make assumptions that they are surviving. So as an organization, outside of the data that we collect, we actually do run projects. And you will find that in homes where there are grant recipients, actually they're not surviving. They will tell you that we've gone for a week without eating, right? And we make assumptions that this grant is going to be enough for them. It's not enough.
Sure, lots to talk about and think about there. Where do people find the survey? I think it's very important for people to go through it. There's a lot in there. We haven't touched on half of the stuff that's there. Lisego?
It's on our website, www.finmark.org.za.
Appreciate your
time. It's on our website. Yes.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank
you very much. She's the head of Financial Inclusion Program South Africa at Finmark Trust. So how do you spell Finmark? It's Fin, capital F, and then capital M for Mark, M-A-R-K. That's where you can find the survey.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.